All right, so Hillary loses again, and I mean, obviously, the people that are behind Hillary are very, very much so stating and have stated that she's not only inevitable, but she would be magnificent president, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, she's got a problem closing the deal against a guy who's a card-carrying socialist. I mean, it seems to me that that, you know, she can't really, if she cannot beat a socialist, I think she's an extremely weak candidate. And I think she, you know, she's always been a very weak candidate. She's always been a person who acted very tough and very formidable and has been riding on the coattails of her husband, you know, since she was around. And, you know, it's just, it amazes me that anybody would say that, Donald Trump does not have a chance against this lady. Now, Michael Goodwin, who writes for the New York Post, has got a column, Hillary Clinton is unraveling quickly. He writes a lot of articles that are critical of the Democrat establishment, but he is also a Democrat. You know, he's a New York Democrat. And he is just pointing out what is so obvious, that if she is, if she gets beat, if Hillary gets beat in many races and still comes out with the nomination, I think that people remember that. And it does affect your sense of, you know, the inevitability that somebody has for one campaign, you know. That's all, really, that's all that matters is whether you can knock off one campaign. And Hillary is just doesn't seem to be able, for whatever you blame it on, you could blame it on the ability, the fact that Trump took the air out of the room and he's taken away a lot of what should have been special race. You could make that claim. You could also claim that Sanders as a socialist is taking away her strength from the far left. And I'm sure that's true. I'm sure both of those things are true, but ultimately there has to be a reason as to why Hillary cannot close the deal on her own. I mean, what is it about, Hillary herself that makes it so, difficult for her to go in and get those delegates? I mean, she has got by far the most, name recognition. I mean, a lot of people don't even know who Sanders is. How is it possible that he is holding his own against her? And if it wasn't for the superdelegates, I mean, it's pretty obvious that, to me anyway, that she wouldn't even be in the lead, because in a lot of these states where she is running neck and neck or even loses, she ends up with most of the delegates. So, I mean, I just think it's kind of a joke that she has been given this golden path, this red carpet, out that a lot of her own people don't like her. I mean, I just saw Bill Mayer was saying that she's got this weird, he's got this very strange way of describing her as a liar, or that she lacks, and that he says it's like playing. Couldn't even really follow the analogy he made, but he using an old play a video game on where the reactions are very slow. In his point, I believe saying that she authentic, but the way she reacts to stuff is very slow. And he says that that tells me that maybe we have hope that she's going to be authentic someday, because she's fighting against herself. And I mean, it's just kind of bizarre way to defend her. But, you know, everybody knows that Bill Mayer, who used to do the Comedy Central show, is an extraordinarily left center person. And his old partner is, what's his face, has the Tonight Show, the old David Letterman show, that he is struggling now with his audience because of the fact that, people don't really want, the people that are up watching the show at the time that Letterman had his show, they don't want a uniformly liberal person at that desk. They want someone who's a little bit more in the center. And Colbert is just like Mayer. He could not, and I keep calling him Bill Mayer, but this is Jonathan Stewart is who I'm talking about. Jonathan Stewart resigned from his show, The Daily Show, and he's saying that that Hillary is inauthentic, and he's giving an excuse for it. But I think it's palpable if your own people are talking about the fact that you're inauthentic, then you've got a real problem with that, and it's going to bleed into the general election. Let's take a little break here. I've got some computer, needless to say, as always, computer problems. 629 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in 805-6180 and AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. Will be right back.
So she took her love for to gaze a while among the fields of barley.
All right, so there is this claim out there that Ted Cruz could come back. Now, I don't know if there would be any actual support for that. I know there's a lot of Ted Cruz lovers out there, but at the same time, Ted Cruz dropped out of the race, and I don't see that doing that is the way forward for his campaign. Now, here's a little clip.
Ted Cruz's Hail Mary in Indiana ended with a crushing defeat last night. The Texas senator saying that his campaign has now come to the end of the road.
Tonight, I'm sorry to say.
No, no.
That path has been foreclosed. Together, we left it all on the field in Indiana. We gave it everything we've got, but the voters chose another path.
Cruz not mentioning Trump by name, but his exit clears the path for the billionaire businessman to capture the nomination. Trump praising Cruz as a worthy opponent and calling now for Republican Party unity.
I have met some of the most incredible competitors that I have ever competed against. Right here on the Republican Party. You know, we started off with that 17 number. And just so you understand, Ted Cruz, I don't know if he likes me or if he doesn't like me, but he is one hell of a competitor. He is a tough, smart guy. I want to thank and congratulate the Republican National Committee and Reince Priebus, who I just spoke to. He's doing a tremendous job. It's not an easy job when he had 17 egos, and now I guess he's down to one. I don't know. This country, which is very, very divided in so many different ways, is going to become one beautiful, loving country. And we're going to love each other. We're going to cherish each other. We're going to take care of each other.
And with that, RNC Chairman Reince Priebus tweeted last night, Donald Trump will be presumptive GOP nominee. We all need to unite and focus on defeating Hillary Clinton, starting a relatively new hashtag rather than Never Trump, Never Clinton is the hashtag in Ryan Priebus's tweet from last night. Peter Ducey's in Jeffersonville, Indiana, where all the action happened last night. So, Peter, there is so much to talk about here today. Quite a morning for Donald Trump after a very big night. So what are we hearing from him this morning?
We're hearing from Trump, Martha, that he was caught completely off guard by the Cruz concession. And Trump explained just in the last hour or so that he was planning on campaigning against Cruz until the convention. But now that he doesn't have to, he thinks it's okay to hang up the nickname he had branded the Texas senator with for the last several months.
He was a very tough competitor, honestly. No, Lion Ted is now... We will now put that aside. I really respected the job. I mean, he was a very tough competitor, and I said that last night. I was surprised that he left, actually. There was no path, in my opinion, but I was I still thought he was going to the end.
And Trump says he still hasn't spoken to Senator Cruz, but that he might soon. Martha.
You know, he's making the rounds this morning, Peter, and now the focus really has to shift to putting together an expanded campaign and something that looks more like a general election than a nomination process.
Right, and it's really interesting. Trump is starting to say a lot of very nice things about the 15 Republicans he ran against and defeated who have since dropped out, even playing coy when some of their names are mentioned as possible running mates. But Trump said this morning that he thinks he can bring all the supporters of those other 15 Republicans all under the same tent, but that he doesn't think he needs to.
All right. So here is this. Now, that's this going back just a few days when Cruz dropped out. And the fact of the matter is that Cruz didn't have a way forward. Now, here is something from Glenn Beck. And Glenn Beck has been totally devoted, as much as Olivia Newton-John was to John Travolta in Grease. Glenn Beck has been totally devoted to Ted Cruz and was devastated when he dropped out. But there's a glimmer of him coming back. Check this out.
Say, we need to watch and see. Ted, are you leaving the door open to?
And this is, by the way, this is from the Glenn Beck Show. This is from yesterday.
Say, we need to watch and see. Ted, are you leaving the door open to if Nebraska were to somehow miraculously choose you tonight?
Pat's going for the Hail Mary.
Is there, I mean, if that happened, would you consider getting back in the race?
Well, I am not holding my breath. My assumption is that will not happen. But listen, let's be very clear. If there is a path to victory, we launched this campaign intending to win. The reason we suspended the race last week is with Indiana's loss, I didn't see a viable path to victory. If that changes, we will certainly respond accordingly.
I don't know about you, Nebraska, but I take that as a yes.
I take that as a big yes.
Get to the polls now.
All right, so I don't see any path forward whatsoever, but I've never been that close to the presidency, so maybe I'm not sympathetic. But anyway, 6:39 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-618-02 text. And I've got, in the second hour, I've got weird news for you, some weird news, but I've also got some, I guess it's in the weird news category, the idea that the planets, that there is life out there, and they've supposedly found hundreds or thousands of planets that could or should have life on them. If you want to talk about skepticism, I'm extremely skeptical about that claim, but, you know, scientists make their living off this type of thing. We will be right back.
And you can tell the sun in a jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold.
All right, so more of the same, the unfolding of the of campaign continues, and ironically, now Hillary is in the spot that Trump was in. Trump is in the spot that Hillary was supposed to have been in, the undisputed leader towards the end of the primary, and Hillary is still in the fight of her life to try to secure the nomination. She keeps losing states, and you just have to wonder, is there at some point, is there going to be a day of reckoning for her in this election when, you know, people say basically what I could see happening, although I'm not suggesting, that's not my prediction, that the people say we like Sanders a lot better than we like Hillary, and he may not seem inevitable, but we're gonna stick with him. Of course, if Clinton gets indicted, then she's out of the race, and then she never has a chance to be president again. Here's a little bit on the Clinton-Sanders ticket. Does Hillary need Sanders? Why don't they throw in their lot together now?
66% of the remaining delegates in the last 12 races to get over the pledged delegate hump.
And this is a Sanders backer, of course, touting the need for this two on the same ticket.
Let's just say he does that and still comes up short for the nomination. Isn't he, to my original question, hobbling your nominee when you get to Philadelphia? Whether you have a lot more say in the platform or what your nominee eventually talks about or not.
You know, look, if I was advising Secretary Clinton, I would point out that Bernie Sanders appeared to leave the door open to being her vice presidential nominee when he was on the Rachel Maddow show last week, and I'd be encouraging her to reach out to him. There's nobody who can help her more, you know, if she actually becomes the nominee than him. And quite frankly, that's the best advice I could give her. He has proven to be, quite frankly, a much stronger sort of candidate coming back. You know, it's sort of like an Oxford-style debate, right? It's not necessarily sort of where you end up, it's how many points you move. And we simply have moved more points than she had. Our campaign over the last 6 months, over the last year, has gained more and more support. She has lost more and more support. And she needs somebody who's a real comer and who, quite frankly, can drive out folks who are likely to stay home. And the independents and the young voters, they really only turn out for candidates who they truly believe in, and that's who we bring.
Well, Ben, thanks. We'll see if she takes your advice.
Well, I mean, Hillary needs to do something to reboot at this point. I just got a text. I'll read it to you in a moment on Section 8, believe it or not. Somebody was pointing out that they're increasing the amount that they're allowing for Section 8. All right. Don't forget you have a national race, but it's state by state. And there's some states that are in the pocket of one party or the other. And obviously, you know, when you think of a place like Texas, you think of that being in the pocket of, say, a Republican, and California, the pocket of the Democrat. But a place like Florida is a lot of times up in the air. So here is a little bit on Donald Trump in a dead heat with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in Florida. Let me suggest this to you too, and this is from yesterday. Got New York that's up. Donald Trump crushed Ted Cruz and John Kasich in New York, and I think it's possible he could beat Hillary there. If he wins that, I don't see how she wins the race, or Sanders for that matter, General Sanders. All right, here's a little bit on the race in Florida.
More on that presidential poll I broke earlier this hour. Quinnipiac University finding Donald Trump is in a statistical dead heat with both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in three key swing states, Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Here in Florida, you can see Clinton leads Trump by just 1%, 43-42%. The lead for Sanders is 2%. In Ohio, Trump leads Clinton. Breaking it down now, Quinnipiac finds gender is the big difference. In Florida, 48% of women go for Clinton compared to 35% for Donald Trump. Men go for Trump more. Other findings, Florida voters say Trump would handle the economy and terrorism better, while they say Clinton is more intelligent.
That's absolutely stunning how someone would listen to Hillary Clinton and think she was smarter than somebody else. I don't mean that as an insult, of course. Let's take a break here, and then we're going to come back and we're going to go over one of the most electrifying parts of the show for the last few weeks, the Glenn Beck Watch. And 6:49 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text. And I'll read you that thing about Section 8 HUD. We'll be right back.
I never made promises like these. There have been some that I've broken, but I swear in the days still left, we'll walk in fields of gold.
It's 6:52, and just I haven't heard this recently, so here's your delegates for Clinton versus Sanders. Clinton 2,239, Sanders 1,469. And now listen to this. Without the superdelegates, Clinton has 1,716 delegates and General Sanders, 1,430 delegates. So we're just talking, you know, it just amazes me. Just like 300 or less, less than 300 vote difference. Clinton has 523 delegates, superdelegates, and General Sanders has 39 General Sanders chicken. Well, anyway, so in case you're wondering, Trump now has 1,135 delegates. He needs about 100 more. The Cruz are 564, and Kasich, which they're both out, doesn't matter. But all right, here is your vicious attack on Glenn Beck for the 11th from Alex Jones. Alex Jones became so unhinged, and I didn't even get a chance to play it. I played the beginning of it, but I didn't get the place where he screamed that he hated that bee and all this. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable theater. Check this out. Alex Jones on Glenn Beck.
It is surreal to turn on your computer on Friday afternoon, check the latest headlines, and to see the top headline on drugsreport.com. Alex Jones, Glenn Beck on fire with evil. Subheadline, a prancing demon. And that story was up there as one of the top stories until Saturday evening when the headline changed. Radio war. Alex Jones slams Glenn Beck as a psychopath who wants to be a cult leader. Look, I'll be honest with you. Glenn Beck has been a bully, doing things behind the scenes to myself, Ron Paul, and others for 8 or 9 years. And I've talked some about it, but I've tried to turn the other cheek. But when he started saying that millions of voters that were supporting Donald Trump were supporting a devil worshiper and this serpent, and that, you know, you were Christian if you were for Cruz, you were a devil if you were for Trump, that type of cult-like behavior needs to be answered with aggressive truth. And so I'm not retracting what I've said, but it's done in the spirit of standing up against a bully. And I don't want to spend my time bashing other talk show hosts. Beck has done some good over the years with Agenda 21, other issues like that. But so many other times, you know, he said, we need to do something about Ron Paul. Why, his supporters are terrorists that want to blow things up. They got something called a money bomb. This was years into Ron Paul's money bombs. You know, just so many things he's done like that. So much disinformation that when he got so arrogant and was calling everybody devils, I basically came out and said, look, you're a devil, buddy. The way you behave, the way you operate, and I'm tired of you. But I'll be honest. Some of my anger was at Priebus and at George Will and the Republican establishment itself saying your local votes don't count. You know, we're the party, we're the sovereigns, your mere plurality doesn't count. I mean, they actually said that. And then I would see the clips online and on Drudge of Glenn Beck saying, you're anointed, Cruz, you've won the popular vote, there's a landslide, Donald Trump, a crybaby, losing, Drudge Report, you know, is anti-Christian. I've never seen a website run some stories pro-Christian when Christians are being slaughtered and persecuted around the world and crosses are being pulled down and the war on Christmas. I mean, quite frankly, 10 years ago, Drudge was reporting on the war on Christmas and I wasn't aware of it. I was more of a libertarian then and just kind of poo-pooed right-wing stuff. I learned about the war on Christmas from Drudge Report. Now I know it's real. Now it's out in the open. They're trying to basically ban it, okay? Everybody knows it's real now. They're also trying to ban costume parties and everything else and the words mother and father. But
here, all right, so we're running out of time anyway, but I need to go find that clip where he goes, I mean, he absolutely melts down and starts, you know, there's a big, it shows his studio, there's a picture of Beck that comes up and he starts screaming. And I thought he was just going to, I thought he was going to pass out. We should have a cage fight with these two. I guess Beck would have the upper hand. He's 6'3", but I don't know why Alex Jones keeps calling him a Nelly and prancing and a Nancy girl. And he's going to go hang out with his boyfriends. Glenn Beck doesn't seem effeminate to me. And I've never heard other than Alex Jones that he was gay. But all right, so there's this attack on, you want to talk about attack on Christianity and Christmas. There's an attack on basic reality in this culture that is just mind blowing, and this idea that you cannot have something as basic as a bathroom that's set up for one sex or another. Now that I wrote that little screed yesterday, now I know the difference between sex and gender. But, I mean, you're a kid growing up. You know, when most of us were growing up, if you were gay in school, it was something you struggled with and tried to hide. And then if it came out, it was disastrous. But there was no group of people pushing you into homosexuality. I would be. You know, it would be so hard to grow up these days. It's just, it's sad. It is tragic. There is a difference between men and women. There is such a thing as marriage. And children desperately need leadership. And this society is a ship of fools driving into the throat of a live volcano. I guess it would be an island volcano in this example. But let's take a break. Kelly O'Connell, and we'll come back. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And we're going to have some weird news. Hang in there. Buckle that seatbelt. Take a potty break if you want. We'll be right back.
Walking fields of gold.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we had a come yesterday. We had an election with the Democrats, and Sanders won both, and Hillary lost. And so, obviously, Trump won. But you know, the question out there is certainly is going on the thing. How is it possible that? Possible situation going on. with, you know, this guy's campaign, and Hillary was supposed to be, well, nobody even heard of Sanders. It's reminiscent of Hillary was this, and you know, that she was going to kind of just pound the, just clean the floor with whoever was against her, and that worked for Barack Obama. And now Barack Obama has written his name in history. He's a two, and I mean, you know, obviously people can make whatever claims they want about what, how the future will judge Obama. There is no doubt that Obama has been elected twice, and that should they, you know, we wouldn't even. A one-term senator. All right, so here's some of your headlines. Ronan Farrow going after Father Woody Allen, comparing him to Bill Cosby, publishing an essay on the day of the con premiere. And I think Woody Allen is, by this point, he's 80 years old or something, but there was a lot of evidence. That he had gone and that Woody Allen had, I'm not saying that he molested his daughter, but there was people who had looked into it were alarmed by some of the information that came out. So, and he's never been able to put that to bed. Refugee settlement unleashed measles in Tennessee. Outbreak in Tennessee. 120 languages spoken in Nashville schools. This is where people are saying the intention of the president is to so diffuse and so dilute the American idea, the American ideology, whatever you want to call it, that we're just trying to be flushed out of the system so that a new group of people can come in, whether it's Mexican, whether it's Syrian, whether, you know, and to fill in the blank there, Chinese or Cuban, they're going to drop 3,000. The Mexican government has told the Cubans drop 3,000 refugees off at our border so that they can walk across. And, you know, so the president is involved in this ongoing attempt to just water us down. And to, you know, he's already changed the military. He's already changed the, God, it's just, it is so, it's so shocking how many changes have been brought in through this guy, and the Republicans as have been totally incompetent stopping him. And you know, you've got a Republican House and a Republican Senate who act like they've all been captured and don't have any ability to stand up to the president. It is surreal. And you know, people get sent to Washington to learn how to be ineffective. So when somebody stands up to these people, when you know, Roy Moore stands up to him, the head of the Alabama Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, he's a redneck, he's a bozo. You know, thing going on with North Carolina, there is no deep analysis of this stuff that's done at any level from the left. It's just a campaign of delegitimization, to quote Jonathan Chait. And the PC movement has come back to cannibalize the left. And as always, whenever you have a leftist who have a leftist revolution, that revolution comes back against the original people. But communism is based on change. So, I mean, that is, as long as you have a revolution, everything else is going to work out according to communist ideology. All right. Theme of Weird Wednesday. I've got this couple of stories for you. My computer is putting up the wide, but all right. Break here and see if I get the computer unstuck. Kelly O'Connell, 712 Amos Cruises, 50 KOBE, 523-1450. Call in 805-618 to text. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kelly. Hey, Marty, how are you? How are things?
Oh, things are going very well. Thank you, sir.
Can we, we're almost on the air.
Yes, sir.
And what's the topic?
Charlotte, North Carolina. Wife there, money towards North Carolina economy.
Okay.
Find a way to get back.
All right, we're on the air. Hold on just a second here. Well, we're back, 7:15, 7:16, and we've got Marty. You wanted to talk about North Carolina.
Professor and I, the University of California at Santa Cruz. My wife and I were planning on going to the Deep South to go to North on a, you know, a quick vacation. And it's beautiful time of year. It's getting warm. Time to go. But we changed our plan to go to North Carolina to put our money into that economy. And I think that's. Thank you.
I respect that. I take my hat off to it.
Adding to that, I'm a grad at the University of California at Santa Cruz. And they're six. I'm not making this up, Kelly. They announced in September we were going to have different bathrooms for six different transgenders, people who were confused about their gender, boys who knew they were boys, who knew they were girls. I don't know what they're for. All my money, I used to give them, you know, I used to send $500 a year to them, and I'm just not, I told them why. I'm now sending it over to Thomas Aquinas College.
Good.
In Santa Paula, California, which is a Catholic college.
Good. You know, these people, they totally misuse the media to run their little agendas. I mean, could you imagine Marty being a kid growing up now trying to know the difference between right and wrong?
Kelly, we put my daughters out of the public school system about 4 years ago, and we're homeschooling now. We're eating it. We're living on. We went from double income and down to single income and home. I don't know what else to do. You just got the best you can with what you got.
I agree, but I mean, I think that here's my problem with the people on the right standing around complaining to one another as our. Our culture falls to pieces, and the people that are doing it know it's not an accident. They know when they do this stuff that it's caused a revolution, a profound and very violent and destructive revolution. And the people that are going to end up paying for it are the, you know, just pull, you know, grassroots people.
Mm-hmm. My question for you, sir, is there's a whole bunch of in town, they'll fix computers. Put a black flag, white flag. Get it fixed.
I know. I just think about this computer in another room. I don't know enough about a computer to stick in your eye, but it's every day. It's just the most basic things that you depend on your computer to do.
Uh-huh.
I try to do it on this computer. Some days it works out, and a lot of days, you know, and I mean, I never know when it's wobbly, as they say. And I hate to keep talking about it, but I want people to know that, you know, it's obvious some days that I'm running low, you know, that I'm mm-hmm. kind of, you know, I'm making a 10-minute statement and turning it into 3 minutes because the computer frees up, and I don't, what I'd like to do is to come in here with some, you know, farm implement and just start smashing it. But you know, there's so many things that I'm doing on the show since it's, I'm the only one who's running the show that I depend on the computer for. So I've resisted up to this smashing it and pouring gasoline and lighting it on fire. But so I started, you know, I didn't used to complain about it. And then I thought, well, maybe if I share my suffering, people, you know.
As long as you get on the air. What? Hello. Cruise supporters, and I've told them I've supported Cruise. I've been very consistent about that. Not that he's an folks don't hold a grudge. I liked Cruise. We didn't get him. Well, anything he's a far left. I mean, Hillary's a and Bernie's even farther. I didn't think that was possible.
Well, yeah, he wants, you know, free. He wants the stuff. But what I just, I don't know. I mean, I always thought, you know, we were this idea that if something is not broken, don't try to fix it. But, you know, we're the world's most, and we've been under the administration for, you know, going on 8 years, and we is underperformed every year. And
mm-hmm.
the media. The story, when people look back in time in 50 or 100 years, if this country still is, going to point fingers at the media and say no matter what the president did, the media made it possible because they refused to criticize. Even when criticism leaches out into the media, it gets wiped away, and it ends up being this brilliant president. You know, whatever mistakes he made, whatever struggles he had were caused by resistant Republicans. I mean, it's just, it is so upsetting when you see how they're destroying the country. It's a very, very sophisticated country, and they're taking it apart bit by bit, you know?
Yeah, the latest breaking story on that, say, was Facebook. I knew that a couple of months ago, that Facebook wasn't putting out certain.
I knew that years ago. I mean, there are
yeah.
things all, they flow all the same. This is the same thing is that you get these people, for some reason, the people that get into media and entertainment that become politically prominent and the individuals who become wealthy, they top. It is irresistible to see yourself as different apples and oranges from everybody else, to see yourself as an elite, to see yourself as this world conquering spirit. And you become liberal because you fall in love with yourself.
Hey, Kelly, there's a guy who stands out on the corner of Maine and El Paseo.
Uh-huh.
On Saturdays. He might be out there Saturday. He's the lone guy out there with a sign, socialism is not free. And across the street, there's a group of young, it's not fair of me to. There's a group of anyway, many different, and they're all holding Bernie Sanders signs. I'm kidding you. They all say, free this, free that. And the guy standing on their side of the corner by himself, now that's they're supporting him, and he says, social isn't free. My hat's off to that guy, whoever he is.
Yeah, I don't
even drove back the other day so we could stop and wave to him and thank him.
Well, and what the, it, where? Yeah.
Corner El Paseo. And
okay,
Saturdays, the Bernie people are out.
He's doing the anti-burning.
Yeah, the lone wolf. Man.
Like he needs some support there. Anything else? I really appreciate the call.
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Have a great day. All right, folks. Yeah, I apologize for complaining about the. It's unforgivable. I admit that. Unforgivable my complaints, but do we not all identify when a computer turns by something, not just with machinery and technology, but we're dealing with spiritual issues? There is a demon in the computer, you know. We got it. Could be another person who's struggling. This call. I invite you to turn your radio down. Okay. I could have. Who knows? I could have been from another planet. Because I'm going to talk to you about habitable planet and the Drake equation. I had mentioned it. I think I mentioned it last week. But yeah, it's very fascinating. They've spotted 1,084. Planets, including nine that are potentially habitable. You know, flew out there and got there, they'd realize. So let's come back and talk about that. I do have another story on. I actually had a ton of stuff on the Drake equation, which the Drake equation is where you equation of how many habitable planets there are out there. Did it believe that there are habitable planets that have life on them, then you also believe that is not just the likelihood that you're going to have a creating on its own. So you know, they used to say that evolution was unlikely, but I think the scientific that if you have a habitable planet, the presumption that I get is that these guys believe that happened. So that is inevitable. Well, for the sake of the argument, it's never even been proved on this. It's not scientific. It's not a reproduced activity in the laboratory. So it's technically not a scientific claim. Although there is an enormous amount spent every year on evolutionary stuff, and saying that if it can't be proved in the lab, it would have happened. But it traditional 26 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 14 and 8056 to detect.